The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and I'm happy to tell you that this episode is sponsored by Express. Express is all new and all about you with a fresh assortment of casual, versatile, and super comfortable styles. Find out more about Express and their exclusive offer for our podcast listeners later in the show. I'm also excited to tell you that you can now watch the Pick Six Podcast, not just on our YouTube channel, but also on OTT, which I think is, what does that mean, Debo?
That's over the top.
That's what I thought.
CBS Sports app.
That's right. You can go to the CBS Sports app and watch all our Pick Six shows. They actually like what we're doing here. So they said, you know what? We want to motivate Pete to be better on CBS Sports HQ. So we're going to put you on the, in the app too.
So got me going, Brinson. You really got me motivated. I'm going to play harder this week.
All you do to find the Pick Six Podcast, and again, it's full-length episodes, you go to the CBS Sports app, you scroll down a couple of tabs, it's like four down, Fantasy Football Today is there, the most recent videos are there, and then voila, you see Pick Six Podcast, full-length episodes, a whole carousel dedicated to the Pick Six Podcast, so go check us out. If you're not a YouTube person, watch us on the CBS Sports app.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. The Applebee's shrimp commercial, man. Who sings that? I like it. I love it. It got that song stuck in my head like randomly. Was it Tim McGraw? Anyway, who cares? The parlay hit. That's what you care about. You come here for the picks.
That's amazing. We've been on fire.
Of 7 weeks, the parlay hit.
That's incredible.
But even more incredible. I mean, this is stupid. So I'm just going to do the quick math here. 6 plus 5 is 11, plus another 5 is 16, plus 4 is 20. Combined, the four of us combined went 22-1 last. 22-2 last week. 20 wins, 2 losses, and 2 ties. That is effing ridiculous, guys.
That really is.
That's amazing.
Yep. We're gonna start a tout service pretty soon.
I know. That's right. Yeah. You can
we're hitting math on our total records too. We're hitting something like 65%. Come on.
I was on with the junkies and they're like, "Hey, we saw that you hit this parlay. Like, what's you guys hitting stuff?" I was like, "You gotta check out this pod." I don't know. Now's the time to jump aboard. But I was like, Pete's 28-13-1 on the season. Pete is 15 games above 500 with his best bets. Kenny, 21-11-1, 10 games above 500. I'm 28-15, 13 games above 500. And RJ, who 2 weeks ago was below 500, is 28-18-1. We're all at least double-digit games above 500. I mean, you know, if you do the math, guys, by the end of the season, we're going to be like 40 games above 500 because that's how it works.
I guarantee you couldn't find another group that does picks that is hotter than we've been. Nobody.
No chance.
Yeah, nobody. There's no chance.
Who at 22-1? Not 22-1. 20 wins, 2 losses, and 1 tie. Or 2 ties, excuse me. I mean, that's absurd.
It's crazy.
Let's stay hot.
Yeah, let's stay hot. Cause
shooting, shooter.
You know it's coming.
Well, somebody's going to lose.
We're going against each other in a lot of these, so I don't think we can all have a huge win.
So there's going to be some losers this week. Somebody's going rotten, and we'll start with the game of the week on CBS. By the way, this week, really, NFL, 3 NFC East teams in primetime? What are you doing? At least they let CBS keep Steelers at Ravens, a matchup of the undefeated Steelers and the one-loss Ravens, a huge divisional battle. The Ravens are a 4-point favorite. The look-ahead line was like 6 or something like that. The over-under, 46.5. Pete, I'll let you go first.
I'm probably on an island on this one, I would imagine, because I like the Steelers. I think they're the better team. I know they're playing consecutive road games. That always worries me, and facing a team coming off the bye. But I just think that defense will stop the run. 3.4 per rush. That's important, and that's what the Ravens want to do. They lead the league in rushing. I think you stop the run, you limit their offense. They'll hit a couple big plays, but I think the Steelers are going to move the ball as well. I like the Steelers. I don't just think they're good with the points. I think they win the game outright.
Yeah, I didn't want to take this game because it's just this number seems right. I don't know what's going to happen here. These are two really good teams. These teams have scored a lot of points, but the defenses are clearly better for both. So if I'm doing a lean in this game, I'm going under 46.5. Pittsburgh's number 2 in defensive DVOA. Baltimore's number 3. They're both middle of the road on offense in that ranking. I think we're going to get another low-scoring game between these teams that we've seen in the past, and it's going to get to 40, maybe creep a little bit over 40, but it's not getting to 46.5. So I would take the points with the Steelers as well if I have to pick the spread, but I like the under better.
Total agreement with under because of the defenses in this game. And I my play is Pittsburgh, though, taking the points here. And I did bet the early line. I've been looking at those early lines now. It's next week's games are already out. So I'm betting those in advance. And I bet 4 games last week, and I've got a 2-point advantage in all 4 games in the NFL, which is unheard of to get those type of numbers. And I only took 5.5 with Pittsburgh in this game. So this one is the Steelers have an outstanding team. Roethlisberger continues to get better. The offensive line, one of the best in football. The defensive line, one of the best in football. So the defense overall, outstanding. They continue to play better each week. They didn't perform well early, but I think they've been better each week. Baltimore has had one game this year, one game against a really good team. That was Kansas City. We know what happened there. So revenge as well. The Steelers lost both games to the Ravens last year. This game always just seems like it comes down to a field goal late in the game and somebody wins by 3 points.
It really does. And that's what makes me a little hesitant to be on Ravens Island here, but I'm okay with it. I think Baltimore's the better team, the more complete team. And as good as Pittsburgh is, I think Pittsburgh's good. And I was wrong about Pittsburgh, and Big Ben has played pretty well. They're just the 17th offense by DVOA. And I realize that the Ravens are only 19th by DVOA. So that's not an indictment of Pittsburgh. But I don't know that the Steelers' rush defense is, without Devin Bush, going to be able to slow down what is a very different rushing attack with what the Ravens offer. Now, Lamar Jackson hasn't played particularly well against Pittsburgh, but the Pittsburgh secondary hasn't been very good this year either. You can throw on them. So I think they'll get the run going because there is no Devin Bush to be sideline to sideline. I think Lamar will take some shots, and I think the Ravens are going to win this game by not double digits, but by a touchdown. And so I think they're going to cover. And look, this is a really interesting spot, I think, too, because we're recording this on Thursday afternoon. You're listening to it on Friday. The NFC South game, there's an NFC South game on Thursday night. So you'll be able to bet up until Sunday at 1 o'clock on AFC South futures. And the Ravens are -125. They haven't been that low all season long. The Steelers are +110. If they beat the Ravens in this game, the Steelers will be heavily favored because they will have a tiebreaker on the Steelers, on the Ravens, and they won't have a loss in their record. So if you really like one of those teams to win the division, this is probably a good spot to get that that wager in, right?
Right.
Would you bet on the Ravens or the Steelers?
I mean, the line tells you to bet on the Ravens.
Sure does.
I think the Steelers have a little easier
Brinson had
schedule.
Brinson had the Steelers in the cellar.
That was stupid. That was stupid. And I'm catching off.
Hindsight is 20/20, except in this case, hindsight is exactly what it was told you at the time. Because it was dumb.
Now, in my defense, what I should have done.
No defense.
No. What I should have done was just have him third. Like that's viable. That could still happen.
Rounds of 5-3. It's not happening. Could it happen? Sure, it could happen. Do you think it's happening? No.
Having the Bengals finish above the Steelers was dumb. That was dumb. Putting the Steelers dead last was dumb. I will cop to that. All right. Next game. By the way, the Ravens are one of my best bets. We're head to head on that one. Kenny and Pete have the Steelers. I have the Ravens, and Pete has, Pete went with a T. Oh no. You put a teaser in?
Well, I have a Steelers straight too, by the way.
What a heat check situation this is.
No.
Teasers is feeling it.
Because I like both those teams, so I threw in a teaser too.
I will say Steelers +10 or +11 is a pretty good teaser number. 49ers at Seahawks. Seahawks -2.5 over under 54, Pete.
Yeah, I just think that Seattle defense is atrocious. I mean, it's historically bad. They can't stop anybody. The Niners concern me again. They're playing consecutive road games, but this is a division game, and they know the team. They know who they are. I think they're going to be able to go up there and move the football on the ground. Look, Seattle's going to score their points too, which is why I think this is probably going to be a high scoring game. But I think Seattle will win, but if you're going to give me those points, I'm taking them. I think it's going to be high scoring game, but a close game. I'll take the Niners plus the points.
I'm going to give Debo some work to do here because I'm going to switch a little bit. I passed on this game. I would lean to the Niners too. I initially had them as my teaser. And because the line for the Eagles is up to -9, taking the Eagles out of my teaser and I'm throwing the 49ers in because this just isn't going to be a game where one of these teams wins by a ton. San Fran's only lost by 8.5, which is what the teaser line is when you push them up once. And that Dolphins game, Jimmy G wasn't right there. Seattle doesn't blow out teams with that defense. Only one win of more than 8. And that came in week 1 against what we now know is a terrible Atlanta team. So this is going to be another close one between these teams. San Fran's the ones playing better now of the two. So I do like your pick of the 49ers, Pete, but I'm just going to be safe and tease them up to 8.5.
Yeah, I love San Francisco, even with all the injuries in the game. And you look at Seattle. I had them a well below rated defense to begin the year. They beat Atlanta, who has one win. They beat the Patriots, who we see now are not very good. They beat Dallas, who is not very good. They beat Miami, who's actually won some games, but they're still they're not even above average. And they beat Minnesota, another team that is not played up to performance. They're an average football team right now. And then they just lost Arizona in a game they should have won. They haven't played anybody yet. This will be the best team they played this year, division game. And, you know, Pete, I've never really worried about back-to-back road games. I used to worry about the play in the NFL. They used to play 3 straight road games sometimes. And that was the play to bet against a team playing their 3rd straight road game. But the NFL finally got rid of that. They don't allow teams to play 3 in a row on the road. So 2 is not that bad. But in this situation, they did have to fly all the way to the East Coast, and now they're all the way back to the West Coast and the, you know, top part of the coast. So that concerned me a little bit. But I think San Francisco has the better football team. So, yeah, I'm taking the points here.
They still allow the 3 straight road games. Arizona just played one a couple weeks ago against Dallas.
Oh, they still do have that. Well, that's the most important one.
It's very, very rare.
It's rare.
You know what else is rare? When we have an organic pick in the parlay, but we got one right here. It's the 49ers. I just got a extremely lengthy text from my son on my wife's iPad. It just says, I need you, which is different than him storming up here. So we'll see how that works out in a few minutes. I love the 49ers. Kenny read the schedule, which is exactly what I was going to do. And I think it's important. Like, you have to take context into account in the middle of those 5 games with Russ playing absolutely perfect football and the Seahawks winning. It was like, wow, you know, this is, these guys are taking care of business wherever they go. They're beating everybody they see. They haven't played anybody. And maybe there aren't many good teams in the NFL, but they haven't played anyone. This is their first real test. Maybe the Cowboys with a healthy Dak. Maybe. But that defense is awful. The 49ers defense is not awful. It is a good defense. And I think the 49ers are going to win this game straight up. I like the 49ers in this spot, so throw it in the parlay. I've just gotten a series of rapid texts from my son. This is amazing. This is a new development. And he's texting me from my wife's iPad. This is hilarious.
Take away his electronics and put him in the corner and tell him to stop.
Now he's texting me pictures of Sonic characters. Titans -5.5 at the Bengals. The over under 53.5. Pete, what do you think about this one?
This is going to be a fun game because there's going to be a lot of points scored. Both defenses are terrible. Tennessee's defense, people think they're good. They're not. They're awful. I think the Bengals defense is really bad. I think Tennessee will bounce back and they'll throw the ball around and run it as well with Henry because he was stopped last week. People say the game got out of hand. He got stopped. He had one run and then the rest of it he did nothing. I think he gets back on track here. I love the over in this game. I'd be shocked if this thing doesn't get into the 60s.
Do you have any worry with the over about the state of the offensive lines? They're both dealing with injuries on both offensive lines.
Yeah, but that could result in turnovers too, though. I mean, the one concern I have, though, is the weather. How bad will it be? I mean, is it going to be, you know, 40-mile-an-hour winds? I mean, Brinson, don't you have 40-mile-an-hour winds in North Carolina today?
Well,
I think
Tons of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got power out of my house. Trees were down.
Yeah. I mean, I worry about the wind. I worry about the wind a little bit if it's windy, but I'm still going to play the over. I think both defenses are awful and Clowney's iffy to go. Not that he's any great shakes, but he's all they got to be able to rush the passer.
Yeah. I would lean Bengals at 5.5. I mean, the Cincy offense feels like it's playing well. They have bad numbers across the board statistically, but it seems like they're always in games somehow. So they've had one loss of more than five. That was at Baltimore. So I think they can that backdoor cover against a bad Tennessee defense is 32nd and third down success rate, 31st in red zone success rate. So, Bengals can score what they need to here to get through the backdoor. Tennessee has one win in regulation of more than 3 points. The last three games were at home. So they probably look like a better team than they actually are since they've been playing at home every single week. So I would lean to Bengals, but I don't love it. I almost took the Titans and then, went through my research and I was like, yeah, I'm 51% the other way now. So just a pass for me.
I'm playing Tennessee. I just think they have a better football team. And I've had their defense ranked, well below average to begin the year. I've actually had to raise their defensive rating up slightly from the beginning of the year till now. So I've gone a little bit different. I still have them below average on the defensive side, but their offense is just so good. And last year it showed they just continued to get better and better and better. Tannehill's coming off two of his better games this year against Buffalo and Houston. I just don't think Cincinnati has the type of talent to stay with them. The Cincinnati defense, I don't think is that bad, but it's the offense that concerns me. And Joe Burrow has been below average in every start but one this year. His best start was against Philadelphia. His offensive line is ranked 32nd in the NFL or 29th in the NFL, one of the worst offensive lines in football. That's hard for a rookie quarterback to be playing behind that type of an offensive line, where the Tennessee offensive line, I think, is second best in the NFL right now. And I think they're just going to pound Derrick Henry and they're just going to wear Cincinnati out in this game.
Yeah, it's a Derrick Henry game for sure. Now, the one thing Frank Stanfield and I were talking about this on the DFS pod is like when Derrick Henry goes off, it doesn't just mean that it's just Derrick Henry. Like everybody goes off. He basically unlocks the Tennessee passing offense. And that's why I like the over too, because Tennessee can't stop anybody. They seem to get involved in these 30-30 shootouts. Like Pete, I am worried about the wind. This doesn't look as bad as another game we'll get to in a second in Cleveland, but Cincinnati, it could be pretty windy there. So I think that is worth watching. I will probably wait. I don't think this is going to get up to 56 with that kind of weather. And the potential for that kind of wind. So I think you can kind of wait and see how the weather looks on Saturday. Like when we get a little bit closer, 24 hours out, maybe. I would probably like the Titans, but I just think Joe Burrow against a bad defense is more than willing and capable of coming in the back door. So I will pass on that spread and take the total as a best bet there. The game I mentioned with a ton of wind, Raiders at Browns. Here is the current forecast Sunday at 1 p.m. 28-mile-an-hour wind and a 50% chance of rain, 52 degrees in Cleveland. Yikes, Pete. By the way, the Browns are favored by 2.5 and the over under is 51.5. It has plummeted by like 4 or 5 points.
What'd you say the win was going to be?
28.
Yeah, that's not good, but.
You can't throw 28 mile an hour wind.
Well, who does that favor though? That favors the Browns. They're the team that runs it better, I think. And I think that favors them. I'd lean to the Browns in this game. I don't love it. But I do think that Baker found something. If it's not that windy, I think he's going to be able to hit some shots down the field. That Raiders defense is bad, really bad. I watched them the other day on tape. They're not good and they're not doing things well. They have a lot of youth there as well and guys are getting pushed around. So I think I like the Browns in the game. I don't love it. It's not one of my best bets, but I would lean to the Browns.
Yeah, Pete is exactly right there. I have my best bet as the Browns because when it's super windy, the edge goes to the team that can run and defend the run. Cleveland's offense is 4th in yards per rush. Their defense is 6th in yards per rush allowed. The Vegas offense is 22nd and D is 24th in those statistical categories. So this seems like a thing where it's setting up where Cleveland has a clear edge here. I think they'll overcome the loss of Beckham. The Vegas D is 32nd in points per drive, so they know how to give up a lot of points. I don't think it matters whether Beckham's on the field or not. So I would go to the Browns. My lean would also be to the under because of the win, but I know Kenny likes the other side of that. So Kenny, does the win factor in that much into your handicap in this game? Because if you like the over, I was kind of surprised to see that.
You can just scratch the over from me because I did not check the weather whatsoever. That play was perfect, pristine weather. So yeah, I'm scratching it. I think you could take at least a touchdown off the total because of those winds, 25 to 35. With occasional gusts of 50 with 60% chance of rain. Now you're going to get a turnover or two in those type of games as well. Two. You're going to get a defensive Four. Touchdown. You're going to get great field position here and there. That does happen in those type of games. I've seen it many times trying to bet the weather under, but I'm not betting over with that type of weather. Absolutely not. I was only over because both defenses are so poor and both teams got good quarterbacks and are in a little bit of a roll right now. So that's why I liked it over, but absolutely will not put any money on this over with that type of weather.
Man, I've got the Raiders as the best bet. And can I be perfectly honest here? I don't really know why. Like, I think you look at the game and it feels like a Browns game and it feels like something the Browns should obviously win. They have a very good run game. The Raiders can't stop anybody, but I'm just going to take the Raiders. I'm not going to back off of it. I'm going to ride with the Raiders. As Kenny points out, 28 mile an hour winds, a lot of rain, silly stuff can happen. Baker Mayfield. Did you see that thing? I think it was Barstool posted it, but it's like the Baker Mayfield cycle. It's like play like crap, get criticized by media. Light up good defense.
Yeah, I saw it. I did
peacock,
see it.
Peacock about you.
Was funny.
Like rip critics. And it's like, and it's just a circular cycle. And so Baker, even though he's not playing a good defense, is due to have a massive turnover or two in this game. So I will take the Raiders, but I, as a best bet, even though I'm not sure I love it.
Can I be honest to you, Brinson? Yeah. I don't know why you make your picks either.
I don't either. That's fair. Sometimes I do it.
My numbers are saying the Browns. So I'm going to add in there since Pete and RJ have the Browns. I did make them 4.5 in the game and laying 2.5. I usually look for a 2.5 point difference, but I kind of overlooked that because when you're laying 2.5 instead of 3, you're gaining about an 8% edge. So I do like Cleveland and I'm with the Browns and I agree with maybe being able to run the football a little bit better. So I'll take the Browns there.
Oh boy. Guy on a hot streak suddenly on an island.
We could put him in the parlay except for someone.
Right? He's on the Raiders. That's one of your best bets.
All right.
I want that for the record though to scratch my total and give me the Browns for one of my best bets because
already got you.
I need to keep moving that record up.
We already got you moved. I'm going to be laughing when I say that. Baker's fumbling every which way. Vikings at the Packers. Packers -7 over under 51.5. Kenny, who do you like in this spot?
Well, I'm probably on an island myself here, but I got to check real quick to make sure that he's playing. Yeah, he is. So Dalvin Cook's in the lineup behind one of the best offensive run block teams in the league. I think that'll be the strategy. I like same season revenge with a loss at home, second time around against each other. Minnesota really nothing to lose. Just haven't played well this year, but they're still, their coach didn't get fired because he's still a good coach. And that's why he didn't get fired because Zimmer's done a really good job with the Minnesota Vikings. So, division game, as I said, coming off that loss at home to begin the season will be motivation for this Viking team. Yeah, they're not as good as the Packers. No, the Packers are a far better football team. But you know what? I think that motivation for the Vikings will keep them in the game, and I think Dalvin Cook has a big game. So give me the dog plus. It's down to 6 now. What was 7 last night? Now it's 6.
Stinky.
Yeah, we were talking about this the last game. Another super windy game. I would love the Packers in pristine conditions at 6, but the way this is now, you know, Minnesota's run game might be able to prevail a little bit. So I'm just going to tease them down. They're going to be my other teaser team with San Francisco. Get Green Bay down now to pick them if it's at 6. We have it -1 for our line. I think that Green Bay can still run the ball. They have a good run game as well. But no way the Packers lose outright to me. They're far superior talent to Minnesota. Minnesota's trading players. They traded a unique Ngakoue. Green Bay's offense ranks #1 in points per drive and 32nd in turnover margin. Minnesota's defense is 30th in points per drive and 28th in turnover margin. So, it's just a case where I don't see that there's a lot going to be happening there and Green Bay's going to be able to get whatever they want. So I think Green Bay wins, but the fact that it could be windy and Minnesota's run game can keep it in it, I'm not that comfortable playing the big numbers. So just tease it down.
What is the wind forecast for the game?
25 to 35, gust of 40.
Wow, that's a lot. Even see, I had the Packers as an over. I'm going to take that out because that wind, even Rodgers will have a tough time ripping it through that wind. I still think the Packers will win the game. I mean, my God, if it was a normal weather, it would be disgusting because they're down. They have no corners. None. They would destroy them.
37 degrees for basically the whole game too.
Yeah. I mean, the weather's that's not a problem.
But it's going to be really windy and 37 degrees. That is.
It's going to be nasty, but I still think the Packers will cover, but I'm taking the over out as one of my best bets, because I'm a little scared of the weather. So take that out.
Should we be taking, I'm just curious generally what you guys think and whoever can jump in, but like, RJ, should we be taking these unders with this weather stuff now, or is it a wait and situation? I mean, the Browns obviously dropped 4.5 points. I don't think you want to jump in now, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's just an autoplay on windy games for the under. I think you want to make sure that it's a game that you would like under anyway with circumstances. So that's why Vikings Packers, I might lean to the under, but I wouldn't want to play it at 51.5 just because Packers can score 40 on anyone at any time. So you get, the gust of wind, dies down for 60 minutes and all of a sudden Rodgers has put 4 touchdowns on the board. So who knows?
You know, when handicapping weather, as I've done it for such a long time, the NFL is usually pretty much the same way. These stadiums are so big that wind swirls. And that's why it affects the passes, because it's not going from one direction or the other. It's not going north, south, east, west. It's swirling inside the stadium. College stadiums, the smaller ones, I've had great success betting over with high winds because one team will always have the wind behind them. And it just seems like they just always do well. You're only scoring in one direction, but you do get a lot of points in that one direction because you end up getting great field position. You see short punts trying to punt against that type of wind as well. But NFL with that swirling wind, that's why it helps the unders, because it's just so hard to pass. Anything over 20 miles an hour gets difficult for the quarterbacks.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will rip through a couple more games.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Rams -4 at the Dolphins, over under 46. Pete, this is a short week, long trip.
Short week, long trip, but they get the extra hour.
Pete correctly pointed out it's daylight savings time.
Fall back. That's good for the Rams. And not only that, their defense is good for the Rams, and it's going to be bad for Tua. I think this is just a bad spot to throw a guy in. He's eventually going to be a pretty good quarterback, but first start, you're playing the Rams and those guys get after it, and they have a lot of good creative stuff that they do. So I don't like this spot for the Dolphins, even though they're feisty. I think Brian Flores is a heck of a coach. In this spot, even on the long trip off a short week, I'm taking the Rams -the points is one of my best bets.
I trust the Dolphins staff to know whether Tua is ready or not. They're going to know better than any of us and anybody you hear on TV talking about it. So if they say he's ready, I don't downgrade quarterbacks in that situation. If Fitzpatrick were to get hurt in week one, I would have a quarterback downgrade in week two. So I would say Tua is probably not ready. But in this case, when you do it voluntarily, you don't adjust the number here. So it's a tough spot for the Rams. Like you said, another cross-country trip is not just that they're going cross-country. It's that they keep going cross-country because they got to play, at Philly and at wherever it was. And just keep
Buffalo,
on the East Coast
at Buffalo.
East Coast over and over and over. So the Rams D has some great numbers, but they've played some of the worst offenses in the league. All their wins are against the NFC East and Chicago. You stop those offenses, good job, but I'm not giving you full credit for that. So My issue is that the Rams offense might be able to run it all over Miami because Miami has a bad run defense. So that's my biggest worry, but I'm going to take the Dolphins plus four as a best bet anyway. I think Tua does enough to keep him in this game and that the spot is bad enough for the Rams that, they'll keep it close. My line would have been Rams minus one without taking the spot into account. So when you do that, I think it's more like a pick 'em. So I think we're getting good value here.
Yeah. You know, I was glad you brought that up, RJ, about the quarterbacks. I was going to say that when I coached baseball and I coached at the high school level, never coached college level, but the high school level, I coached at a top 25 nationally ranked team. I always ask my players at the beginning of the year, every player got a lineup card, and I let all 20 guys or 25 guys on my roster fill out the lineup for game one. I wanted to see what they were thinking because a lot of times the players know sometimes better than the coaches who they can rely on and who they like. When we started our conference games, I did the same thing at the end of the year when we started playoffs. I did the same thing again. I wanted to know what the players were thinking. And, you know, I'm not saying that Miami did that, but I would love to ask Brady that. I think the players know who the best players are. I think the coach knows who the best players are. And I got a feeling if Miami's putting two in right now with a 3-3 record, they think he's better than Fitzpatrick, and that's why they're going to play him because they think he could throw three touchdowns and run for a touchdown. The Rams is a tough matchup. It is, but it's a great spot. The Bears hit hard on defense. You played them on a Monday night and got beat up, and you can't walk till Wednesday or Thursday, and now you got to get on a plane and fly all the way to play Miami, who's playing a rookie. We're not even going to be ready for this game. I don't think the Rams show up. I think Miami has no problem in this game, wins easily.
And I think the Rams have a bye next. I don't know if you, Will, you're looking at the schedule or somebody's looking at the schedule, but I do think that the Rams are on a bye after this. So this is kind of a thing. Let's just get to the bye, beat up, and we can, you know, have 2 weeks to settle down there. So this is going to be a much of a look ahead spot to a bye as it is another team.
Well, Teddy, did anybody ever write on that paper, if I ain't starting, I'm departing?
No, but you know what? I always had to be aware of best friends voting for each other. You'd get a lineup like, oh, this will never work. Well, who voted for this? I know, and I never made them put their names on it. So I just wanted to see where they were. And you know what? Almost 95% of the time, they were on the same page I was.
You know, it is really easy to picture Kenny as a high school baseball coach. And I mean that as a compliment. Like I can just like see like the, yeah, like, ah, like, get it. Intense. By the way,
intense.
Yeah. By the way, RJ, you are correct about the schedule. Rams on a bye and then a little bit of a couple of games here. They're important for them. Seahawks at home, at the Buccaneers, 49ers at home, at the Cardinals, Patriots at home. It's a 5-game stretch right there.
Yeah, well, 4 games because the Patriots don't count.
Right, Patriots don't count. I'm just saying, I think McVay would like some revenge. I think he would like to show he can beat Belichick. All right, Chargers at the Broncos. Chargers -3. This is the last one we'll get through with Kenny and Pete. Pete, I'll go to you first. Chargers -3, over under 44.5.
Yeah, look, you guys know how much I love Justin Herbert, and I think he's fantastic. I thought he's exceeded my expectations even. And Brinson, still every Sunday, oh, the guy throws him 400 yards. I'll get a text from Brinson. Oh, did you see that throw? He overthrew him. I mean, it's unbelievable. He just won't give in. Would you give in? Is the kid good or not?
He's pretty good.
Okay. But I think the Broncos defense is going to show up in this game. Last week, the score was so misleading. You had the Sorensen pick six. You had the touchdown return off the kickoff by Pringle. And really, the Chiefs didn't do a whole heck of a lot on offense. And I think they're going to be able to slow down Justin Herbert in this game. I not only will take the points, I think the Broncos win the game outright. So the Broncos are one of my best bets. And the Broncos Steelers teaser is one of my best bets. So what is it? Broncos +9.5? Is that what it is?
Nine.
And the Steelers +10.
I like it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I like the Broncos too. I'm making the Broncos a best bet. That defense is playing well despite the final score against Kansas City. They're now a top 10 DVOA versus the pass and the rush. So, I think that they can stay in this game. Chargers, they've played well on offense, but, and Herbert has played well, but they're still not winning a ton of games. So, you know, that Chargers defense just gave 29 points in 3 straight. So I think the Denver defense dictates this game. The rush out can get the win. So give me the Broncos as well.
Yeah, I lean towards Denver in the game, but and it's probably the kiss of death for Herbert, because I finally raised his rating up after he's played five games now above the average NFL quarterback, pretty consistent. So me raising that up enough took me off my play for the Denver Broncos. So like I said, usually when that happens, when I do raise a guy, a little bit more knee jerk in this situation, because I figure I had to catch up to everybody else. I don't like to raise a guy after one, two or three games. I know what happens. They lose their confidence real quick, but he's done well. One game I'm going to add in right now, Patriots and Buffalo, I'm going to go under. You guys had me checking the weather. Orchard Park, 25 to 35 mile an hour winds there. That's one of the best swirling winds in football, and we know what the Patriots offense is doing these days. Not very much. So I'm going to put down Bills under 41.
All right, I'm on the Chargers in this one. I like that, sneaking that under in at the last second there, Kenny. Good stuff. I think Herbert's just going to get it done. I'm going to just take the Chargers and ride the Herbert wave. I'm not going to get in the way of it. He's a better quarterback. They're a better team. All right, Pete, Kenny, you guys got to go do some video work. Good stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. See you guys.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Fall is here. Winter is on the way, and you want clothes that are comfortable and versatile for the changing season and the cool weather. Look no further than Express. Their Art of the Essential for Men collection is fantastic. Who doesn't love a good waffle knit crew neck sweater? I know I do. You will be seeing me in such clothes once it gets cold enough in my office. And that's something I can settle down and, you know, podcast, watch football, do all the things that I need in my life. And if I ever get to leave the house again, it's something I'd wear in a social setting as well. Versatility at its finest. So check out what Express has to offer, and you can do it with a great discount courtesy of Express for our podcast listeners. Text the word football to 397-737. You will get $25 off a $50 purchase. 20 half price, 50% off. Just text football to 397-737. All right, RJ, let's roll through the rest of these games. Oh, we still got a bunch, even though it's a short week. Jets at Chiefs, Chiefs minus 19.5, over under 49. By the way, Kenny says he will be looking for a plus 21 on game day. So if that actually comes back, he will add that to his best bets. But I would guess that we're not going to do that. But
no, we do.
Kenny says he'll look for the 21. We're locking in at 19.5. I got nothing here. You can't take it, but I will. I'll tell you, Le'Veon Bell over rush yards, whatever it is. Le'Veon Bell anytime to score a touchdown, whatever it is. Maybe Le'Veon Bell, two touchdowns or three touchdowns. I think I'm going to be hitting that. I think we see him run the ball a ton in the fourth quarter and probably the third quarter if the Chiefs are up big. The revenge spot for him. Andy Reid will cut him loose. I would lean to the Chiefs if I was picking in a pool, but you can't bet 19.5.
It's interesting. It's 19.5 because people say that's a really high number. It's actually low. And I guarantee you Kenny has 21, plus 21.5 or plus 22, because that's what it was when it opened, before last week, you know, on the look ahead line. So he definitely got in on that. That's why he wants plus 21 now. And then he got bet down, you know, when reopened, it got bet down quickly to 19.5. I don't know why. I mean, I would lean to the Chiefs even at minus 19.5. It seems huge, but it's the line that my power ratings make, and my power ratings don't go that high ever. So right. They're willing to go 19.5. I'm like, all right.
How did you get, what's the math on how you got there? Like Chiefs?
Yeah. The Chiefs are, I believe, 8.5 points above average. The Jets are 10 points under average, and the home field is 2, but then I take off a point because when a spread is so high, you take off a little bit because they're not playing hard at the end of the game. So, then it lands right on 19.5. And I'm like, yeah, I'm probably still would lean over on that one.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, Don't put in Adam Gase in the Jets. Just don't do it. Patriots at Bills. Kenny mentioned that he has the under here as a best bet. Bills minus 3.5, over under 42.5. I believe that under has come down a lot, hasn't it?
Throughout the week it might have. I'm also on the under here at 42.5. I have that as a best bet. I feel like that's probably going in our parlay. Windy and rainy in this game. Both offenses have struggled lately. 3 straight games under 20 points scored for both of these teams. So, you know, it's not a situation where you're expected to see a lot of points. Now Edelman is out for New England. We found out he had a knee procedure on Thursday. So the Patriots don't have their one reliable receiver. I don't know how they're going to move the ball through the air. It's going to be a lot on the ground. And that's where Buffalo has been weak, but they can focus on only stopping the run here and know that they don't have to worry about anybody beating them, you know, through the air. So a majority of these matches between these teams tend to go under this number at 42.5. Now you throw in the weather. I think it's a pretty good lock that we're going to get under 42.5 here.
All right. Well, let's throw the parlay. I love the under in a Buffalo New England game. I mean, the Patriots will be fired up, I think, to play defense. They're going to run the heck out of the ball. I think they have to, especially in that wind. And that wind, I like the Patriots to win outright too, because I don't think this plays very well into Josh Allen and Buffalo's hands.
Yeah, I could see that. As a Bills fan, I have to recuse myself, but I'm the biggest pessimist on the Bills. So if I was leaning one way, I'd probably lean 3.5. I'm like, why are they favored by more than a field goal against New England? Give me the points.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, can we please stop with are you getting text? Do you get text in Florida for voting stuff? I'm not saying this one way or the other political. I'm just saying, like, I cannot take any more text about the election.
You do understand how much of a swing state Florida is. Of course I get text.
I mean, North Carolina is even more important, I think.
I get text, I get emails, I get everything.
My mailbox is just jam packed full. Like, oh my God, I just got back to back. Robert, do you have a plan? I mean, stop. Like, I'm starting to swear in replies to these. I'm like, effing stop. And that doesn't activate the actual stop. So
I don't mind letting them come as long as they don't come too frequently. If there's one, you know, account or one group that's sending them or calling me over and over, I'm like, okay, stop. Just, I can't take this.
I mean, I had somebody in my driveway like, looking for Robert. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Get the hell off my, get off my land. Anyway, sorry for that diversion. Patriots under in the parlay. Pete would be fine with that, I think.
Yeah.
So I was actually going to bet. I think I could bet that right now. Because I bet that comes down. Does that get down to 39.5?
It might. I mean, if with Edelman out and if the conditions still look bad, people are going to be hammering it on. Starting.
Oh, I got 41.5 minus 115. What do you think?
Yeah, take it now before it gets past 41.
41, yeah.
41 is the key number you're looking for.
How much do we like this? 2-unit bet?
You do whatever you want to, Princeton. I'm not going to tell you what to bet. You're the guy hitting golf bets here every week. So
I had a first round leader again, back to back weeks. Sebastian Munoz and Peter Malnati. Just a golf talent. Bring me on the first cut, guys. Let me give you some winners. All right. It is, we're in for a two unit bet on the Bills under. You know what? Put that in my best bets too, Debo. Can I do that? Is that?
Yeah, do it.
All right, add the parlay and put that in my best.
Fast and loose this week. Everybody's adding and taking things off. You know, yeah, I started it, so I can't complain because I was the first one to change my teaser at the very beginning. So
that's right. Saints minus 4 at the Bears, over under 43.5. You and I are in lockstep on this. I still love the under at 43.5. I took it at 44.5 or 45 or 44.5. I can't remember which one. I will look in a second, but this is an under spot. The Saints are not a over team anymore. They used to be. They're not. They want to be methodical. And I don't know if anybody saw Monday night. The Bears are terrible on offense. And the Saints aren't as good as the Rams, but they're getting a little bit better. They're coming off their bye, right? I mean, are they coming off their bye?
Yeah, I think so. No. They played last week. I want to say their bye was the week before. Because Michael Thomas wasn't playing during the bye, and then he was supposed to play the week after.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Who do they play? I can't remember anything anymore. Oh, they played the Panthers last week. I watched the whole damn game. What is wrong with me? But yeah, I mean, like they played the Panthers to, you know, 27-24, and the Panthers don't have a defense and have a pretty good offense. The Bears have no offense and don't have a defense. I mean, have a good defense. So under spot, right?
Yeah. It's another super windy spot in Chicago. So definitely a autoplay there on the 43, not autoplay, but the 43.5. I would do worry now. Michael Thomas is back at practice. So that could be super helpful because we know that he is very effective in those short routes, and that's where Breeze needs to hit him because you're not going to throw downfield in the wind anyway. But if Breeze has Michael Thomas back, I'm feel a little better about the Saints. But I didn't want to play this line with the wind. So my best bet's an under here. 5 of the last 6 Chicago games have gone under 40. Chicago's offense has gained less than 280 yards in 4 straight games. So I don't trust Breeze to put up a ton of points if it's windy. You know, they've manufactured ways to take the ball out of his hand with Taysom Hill. So he must not have the arm that he used to. So New Orleans defense is giving up a lot of points, but they have good DVOA numbers, especially versus the run. They're number 4 versus the run. So in a windy spot, you expect the team to run more, and that's how the Saints defense actually succeeds. So give me the under here, 43.5. I know you like it. I'm sure they'll like it with the windy spot. We can put that one in the parlay as our third leg.
Let's do it. Love an under, love a windy weekend under parlay. So we have, Bears under, Pats under, and, 49ers.
Yep.
And if you want to get frisky with the 49ers, put a money line on it. Right?
You like getting frisky.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying like maybe do it like a separate little mini parlay.
Yeah, I worry about that just because of the Saints voodoo magic that they have every year. They're always winning these close games and these
Seahawks.
Spot. So yeah, this the Seahawks. So they finally broke that spell. The Cardinals did last week, and I'm sure the Saints will come back and run out, you know, 9 crazy wins in a row. So I don't want to bet against them again in close games. That's why I teased it up.
All right, Colts -2.5 at the Lions, over under 50. What do you think here?
Yeah, best bet on the Colts, man. It's pretty easy. I know that the Lions have gained some momentum lately, but the Indy's defense gets back on track here. They're coming out of a bye. They're getting Darius Leonard back. He practiced in full on Thursday. It's going to be a huge lift to have him back. They're still number 4 in DVOA. They were number 1 with a bullet, you know, early in the season, and now they're number 4. Still a good defense. Detroit's coming home after back-to-back wins on the road. One of those was fortunate, as we know last week. They pulled that one out, pulled a rabbit out of their head, as Jason Witten likes to say. So this is a letdown spot for me. You win back-to-back games on the road, you come home. I think that this is a very much a take the foot off the gas week for them. So 2 weeks to prepare for the Colts. Love the coaching matchup even more when you get Frank Reich versus Matt Patricia in a game where Reich has more preparation time. So yeah, this seems like Colts are going to win by at least 3 for me.
My best bet here is to the under 50. And I would anticipate that this comes down. I think it was trying to move. Yeah, I mean, it's juiced to the under. So I bet it gets down to 48, 48.5 is going to be my guess, something in that range. I just think, I know that like the Lions will allow you to score and their defense isn't very good, especially on the back end, but they've gotten better against the run and they added Everson Griffin. I assume he's going to play, right?
Can he play? It depends. These guys sometimes have to pass the COVID protocol testing before they let him in the building. So when you make a trade 1 week, you just assume that you're not going to have that guy until next week.
Yeah, it's probably true. So don't bank on it, but their defense, their rush defense has been pretty good the last couple of weeks. The last two games allowing 55 yards per game against the, to their opponents. And I really think Indianapolis is going to come into this game and try and make it a Jonathan Taylor game. Like I think they want to establish him as the identity of their offense. Phillip Rivers had a fantastic second quarter before the bye against the Bengals and leading that crazy comeback win. But I think this is a Jonathan Taylor game. I don't think it's going to work great, but they're going to keep at it. And I think the Lions will be as methodical as you want. If you want to get in a shootout, the Lions will, like, they're the crazy person. They'll get nuts with you, but they would just as soon prefer to just be methodical and slow paced on offense. And their games haven't been shootouts necessarily every time. I think this game goes way under 50. So I like the under here. It's a spot. And I lean towards the Lions, but I kind of have a bad feeling about it.
Yeah. I don't have really a big opinion on the under. I don't mind playing it. But yeah, Detroit isn't the same team that we've seen in the past. We love going these overs on Detroit because they're always, you know, shoot them out, throw a bunch, and then their defense has a ton of points too. But I think they're a little bit different team this year, so I hesitate against that.
Cowboys at Eagles. We get to the skanky primetime games this week. The Eagles are -9, first place on the line for Debo's squad. The over-under is 43. Debo, let's get a check-in. How confident are you in the Eagles winning and covering?
Dallas sucks. I feel great about the Eagles winning. Not necessarily about it being a blowout. I could see the Cowboys sticking around, and that's more a testament to the Eagles not being able to put teams away, which they should have done against the Giants. I mean, I'm not going to pick against the Eagles, but I wouldn't be surprised with the Dallas cover.
Yeah, I was ready to tease the Eagles when it was 8 and 8.5. When it got to 9, I'm backing off. The Eagles shouldn't be favored by 9 on anybody. I know Cowboys are terrible, but Eagles shouldn't be favored by 9 on the Jets at this point. They're a solid team. They have good, you know, portions of the team. They have good units, but they are not overall a good team, you know, and that's why they're 2-4-1. So it'll help if the offensive line is healthy. I know Jason Peters came back to practice. We'll see how they line up on the offensive line, and that will go a long way, especially if Lane Johnson can play too. But I'm just not willing to lay a ton of points with the Eagles with how they've played. So just to stay away from me, I wouldn't play the spread in this one at all.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. Because it's the Giants and Eagles and it's Sunday night. But I wouldn't – you can't take the Cowboys. You couldn't talk me into taking the Cowboys no matter what the spread is. Like in my pick 'em pool – so if you're in a pick 'em pool in CBSSports.com, which you should be, the Eagles are -3.5.
Like, yes, that's autoplay on the Eagles.
Right. Every single person in the pool better have the Eagles or they're idiots. And watch the Cowboys cover, but just don't, I mean, like I'll play some DFS on this. I'm sure I'll bet on something in this game because it's on prime time, but
yeah, play, Philadelphia defense captain. Cause I just don't know how Dallas scores points in this. You know, they 142 yards of offense last week and that's where Dalton got actually, you know, some time and see what Ben DiNucci does if he's starting in this game. It's, I just don't know how they're scoring points.
Yeah. I don't either. This game stinks. I cannot wait. I hope I'm not like just on the like brink of paying out or getting paid. And then I like have to figure out something to bet on this game because, you know, you gotta stay under your limit. Anyway, Bucks minus 10.5 against the Giants on Monday night, the over under 46. The Giants, of course, placed Will Hernandez on the COVID list on Thursday afternoon. Four of their five offensive linemen listed in COVID protocol, I believe, right? And this game has since come off the board in many places. But if the, by the way, how are the Buccaneers getting, how are Tom Brady, everybody he plays, the opposing offensive line gets COVID, like right before he plays him?
Well, the Buccaneers had a case too. So somebody in the equipment staff or some not a non-player. So they've had to
maybe it's the guy who's delivering the COVID to the Giants offensive line.
Maybe it's the deflator. Maybe he came over with Tom Brady.
Oh, it's the coroninator. The guy who, the guy who's in charge of like poisoning, you know what? I'm not going to go down this road. I don't know if does a line come out and be different.
I don't think so. I think, when it posts back up, cause it's not going to get any higher than 10.5. I mean, it's a road team. It's, you know, a prime time game. So I don't know that a lot of people are going to look to play the Bucks. If I were playing a side of this game, I would play the Bucks at 10.5. It seems too big to lay, but I think it's a field goal short with my power ratings. I, like we were saying with Dallas, I don't know how the Giants score. Tampa's defense is number one in DVOA by a mile. They're number two in points per drive. The Giants offense is 31st in points per drive and 30th in DVOA. I mean, could they get to more than 10 or 13? I don't know if they're getting any higher than that. And the Buccaneers offense should have no issue scoring. They have a 28 plus points in five of their last six. Chicago is the only team that held them under that and they held them to 19. Giants aren't going to come out and do that. They've had a solid defense this year, but they're not that good defensively. If the Bucks are getting to 28 and the Giants aren't scoring more than 13, add it together and Bucks are covering.
Yeah, I would take the Buccaneers in this spot as well. It's not a best bet. Too many points Monday night. It's weird. I just think this year is different in terms of like good teams beating up on bad teams and home field not mattering as much. Like I think you'd, in years past, you would want to take the Giants here, right? It's like a huge dog at home and we would see him cover. It just doesn't feel like it's not the same thing. Like primetime doesn't matter as much without the crowds either. I don't think, I know it's still a big deal and it's Monday night, but it doesn't feel, I don't think these games feel like that. I don't think the atmosphere rises to the level that it's been before. And so I think we're seeing maybe more teams take care of business, better teams take care of business against worse teams in these spots.
Yeah, and you could worry about the Buccaneers being flat against a team like the Giants because you're coming off a couple big wins, looking great, looking like the best team in the NFC. But it's a primetime game on Monday, so, I mean, I don't think you can count on that. I think they'll come out, show up, and have a good game.
All right. Here it is. So, by the way, there's a parlay pick'em. We're hitting parlay so much. We're out of control with these parlays that we're hitting. So CBS and our pals at William Hill are putting together a game for us and you can win $1,000. There's $1,000. We give away $1,000 guaranteed every week. All you have to do is go to cbssports.com/parlay. The contest is open from Tuesday through Sunday. You pick five teams against the spread in a parlay and we give away $1,000. You hit a parlay, you win cash. So go to cbssports.com/parlay. The odds are provided by William Hill, of course. Enter five teams against the spread, hit the parlay, get paid. I know a bunch of, I know you people DM me with you like, hey, here's my parlay, here's my best bets. So go plug them in. Put your money where your mouth, put no money where your mouth is. You get to do it for free. Stuff some money back in your mouth after your mouth's right or something. Here's our, I got to do my parlay. I'm going to give out my parlay, which was what I would do. You can go plug this in if you want. It won't be unique because I'm giving it out on the podcast, but you can try. RJ is going to take one away from this.
Yeah, Princeton's going to pick six here because this is the pick six podcast. That's but right. Because it's a five-team parlay, I'm going to get to remove one of them because I get to heat check Princeton a bit because he likes to get a little crazy with some of his picks.
You're going to have to, you have to have a lot of choices here based on
that. Yeah, maybe we should go with more picks than six because you like to get a little too crazy with a lot of these Steelers last place.
That's right. Ravens minus four, Saints minus four, Raiders plus 2.5, Patriots plus 3.5, Chargers minus 3, and I'm going to pull an audible here. And so the Eagles, see there, I had said Eagles minus whatever. I don't like that. 9 is too much. I'm going to take the 49ers plus 3.5.
2.5, I think, for 49ers.
2.5, yeah.
Yeah. So I love the 49ers, so I'm not taking that one out. I think Patriots is pretty solid. I don't like the Chargers. Don't like the Raiders. I'm kind of on the fence with the Saints and the Ravens. So I'm narrowing it down to Chargers and Raiders. And with the Chargers on the road, I think I got to take them out. So that's going to go with Ravens minus four, Saints minus four, Raiders plus 2.5, Patriots plus 3.5, and 49ers plus 2.5.
All right. I love it. Here's the picks recap. If the Chargers minus three hits and the Saints don't, this is RJ's fault for the parlay. You guys can go bet this parlay too if you want. Our parlay, the Pick Six Podcast parlay, winner 4 out of 7 weeks. We're going to make it 5 out of 8 weeks. My promise to you podcast listeners, I will continue to not profit from this whatsoever. So you can. 49ers plus 2.5. The Bills and Pats under, good to 41, I believe. Bears, Saints under. We'd probably take that down to 42.
43? Yeah, sure.
Okay. And, but it could drop, but between now and Friday morning when people are listening. Pete's best bets, the Steelers, the 49ers, the Bengals over, the Rams, the Broncos, and he's doing a teaser with the Broncos and the Steelers. What could go wrong when Pete's teasing things? That's heat a heat check
teaser.
Heat check teaser.
He's not even getting any, the key number 33. Not any of those.
It's just a heat check teaser. It's a disaster. Probably Kenny's not. Best bets. Titans, 49ers, Vikings, Browns, Steelers, Dolphins, Pats, Bills, under. RJ's best bets. The Browns minus 2.5, Indy minus 2.5, Miami plus 4, Denver plus 3, Bears Saints under, Bills Pats under, and a teaser, Packers minus 1 and 49ers plus 9.5. My best bets. Titans Bengals over. Watch the win there if you're taking that one. Raiders, 49ers, Colts Lions under. Don't need to watch the win in that one. You know when it's done. Ravens, Saints, Bears under. Get that one in now. Chargers and Bills, Pats under. Also get that one in now. That's the show. Those are the picks. Let's stay hot. Go get that money. RJ, talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.